I put my hand on his face and leaned in to kiss him. He did it readily, but I felt how he held himself back. I tasted nothing of him in that kiss, even though I pressed close, practically begging for more. When we parted, I sighed and he looked away.
I should go, he said again.
This time I let him. He rose from the bed and went to the door, pausing in the frame for a moment.
You can't go back to Art Row, he said. You know that, don't you? You shouldn't even stay in town. Leave, at least for a few weeks.
And go where? I lay back down, turning my face away from him.
Maybe visit your hometown.
I shook my head. I hated Nimero.
Travel, then. There must be somewhere else you want to visit.
I need to eat, I said. Rent would be nice, too, unless you intend for me to carry all my household possessions when I go. He sighed in faint exasperation.
Then at least set up your table at one of the other promenades. The Isha order keepers don't bother with those parts of the city as much. You'll still get a few customers there.
Not enough. But he was right. It would be better than nothing. I sighed and nodded.
I can have one of my people.
I don't want to owe you anything.
A gift, he said softly.
There was a faint, unpleasant shiver of the air, like chimes gone sour. Generosity was not easy for him. On another day, under other circumstances, I would have been honored that he made the effort, but I was not feeling particularly generous in that moment. I don't want anything from you, Matt. Another silence, this one reverberating with hurt. That was like old times, too.
Good night, Ori,
he said, and left. Eventually, after a good cry, I slept. Let me tell you how Madding and I met. I came to Shadow, though I still thought of it as Sky then, when I was 17. Very quickly, I fell in with others like me, newcomers, dreamers, young people drawn to the city in spite of its dangers because sometimes, for some of us, tedium and familiarity feel worse than risking your life. With their help, I learned to make a living off my knack for crafts and to protect myself from those who would have exploited me. I slept in a tenement with six others at first, then got an apartment of my own. After a year's time, I sent a letter to my mother letting her know I was alive and received in return a 10-page missive demanding that I come home. I was doing well. I remember it was the end of a day and winter time. Snow is rare and light in the city. The tree protects us from the worst of it, but there had been some, and it was cold enough for the cobbled paths to become icy death traps. 2 days before, Voroy had fractured his arm falling, much to the dismay of Rue and Own, who had to put up with his incessant complaining at home. I had no one at home to take care of me if I fell, and I couldn't afford a bone bender. So I went even more slowly than usual on the sidewalks. Ice sounds much like stone when tapped with a walking stick, but there is a subtle difference to the air above a patch. It is not only colder, but also palpably heavier. I was safe enough, just slow. But because I was so intent on not breaking a limb, I paid less attention to my route than I should have, and given that I was still relatively new to the city, I got lost. Shadow is not a good city to get lost in. The city had grown haphazardly over the centuries, springing up at the foot of Sky, the palace, and its layout made little sense despite the constant efforts of the nobles to impose order on the mess. Longtime denizens tell me it's even worse since the growth of the tree, which bifurcated the city into Wesha and Isha, and caused other, more magical changes. The lady had been kind enough to keep the tree from destroying anything when it grew, but entire neighborhoods had been shifted out of place, old streets erased and new ones created, landmarks moved. Get lost, and one could wander in circles for hours. That was not the real danger, however. I noticed it quickly that chilly afternoon. Someone was following me. The steps trailed 20 feet or so behind, keeping pace. I turned a corner and hoped, to no avail. The feet moved with me. I turned again. The same. Thieves, probably. Rapists and killers didn't much care for the cold. I had little money on me, and I did not look wealthy by any stretch, and most likely it was enough that I looked alone and lost and blind. That made me easy pickings on a day when the pickings would be slim. I did not walk faster, though of course I was afraid. Some thieves didn't like leaving witnesses. But to hurry would let this thief know that he had been spotted, and worse, I might still break my neck. Better to let him come, give him what he wanted, and hope that would be enough. Except, he wasn't coming. I walked a block, two blocks, three. I heard few other people on the street, and those few were moving quickly, some of them muttering about the cold and paying no attention to anything but their misery. For long stretches, there was only me and my pursuer. Now he will come, I thought several times, but there was no attack. As I turned my head for a better listen, something glinted at the corner of my vision. Startled, in those days I was not quite used to magic, I forgot wisdom, stopped, and turned to see.